Oh, thank you, Robin DeVell. Give her another hand, please. Oh, let's pray in response to that song. Oh, God, we are here and we want to worship you. It's one of the reasons we've assembled. And we're thankful, oh, God, that you've given us a way. You've made it so we could be with you forever. Thank you for the hope, the promise that we have of a life not just here, but a life forever and ever, an eternal one. And you've done that because you love us. You gave so much. Help us, oh God, to grasp that, perhaps anew, afresh, or maybe for the first time in some depth. Would you reach down and give and touch us and give us an understanding, perhaps, that's greater than what we've had? Or maybe, God, you would just bring some healing. You would give us an indication of how great you are toward us. Maybe you would help us to take a step today that maybe we've been thinking of and wanting to do, but we just haven't done it yet. God, would you help us in that too? Oh, God, we want to know you. We want to be with you. God, it's your design that that be so. And so we exalt you as creator. And as ruler, sovereign God of all, and oh God, we are grateful that you have become a redeemer for us to make us alive with you forever. As your design was originally put in place, may it come to be. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all look so good, especially you ladies, okay? You guys are okay too, but hey, Easter's just one of those days. Thank you for being part of this Easter service at the Branch at 10 a.m. You're welcome. And if you are in search of a church or thinking about beginning a church routine, could I invite you to be part of the Branch on an ongoing basis? And thank you again for responding to any invitation if you're newer with us. We're grateful for that. Our theme is the road. And, you know, roads serve to get us to places and people, don't they? And so on the screen you'll see the road that would get you to Timberline Lodge on Mount Hood, right? Some of you have been on that road? How many have been on that road? You can recognize it. Yeah, sure. Or the road to the gorge. It's designed a road that there's a road that's designed to get you into the gorge and then maybe out the other end, but you got a road that serves to get you there. And that's what roads serve to do. Or how about this road, the road to Johnston Ridge Observatory, where you can observe close up the powerful Mount St. Helens volcano that erupted almost, 40 years ago now. Powerful. So the purpose of roads is to get us and to put us closer to the people and the places that we would want to get to. There's a plan for those roads. So what I want to ask today is, what's the purpose and the what we're going to answer is, what's the plan or the purpose behind a plan to get us to the place of heaven and the person of God? Jesus actually answered that question and actually explained it to his disciples on the night before he died. And I'd like you to look at that closely with me. It's in your notes inside of that worship folder that you might have. Partial notes will be on the screen. But let's look more closely as how Jesus explained this to us to help us understand this purpose of this, what we might call spiritual road or avenue or way to the place of heaven, to the person of God. Look what he says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. They were troubled, if I could pause there, because he was sharing some departing words. He was telling those close disciples who had been with him for 3 to 3.5 years that he was going to have to depart. And they didn't like that. They struggled with that. Jesus indicated they were troubled. And so he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. He was encouraging them. You believe in God. Believe also in me. So it isn't enough that we would just believe that there's a God. to have an understanding of a pathway to heaven. Rather, we also must believe in Jesus. That's what he said. Believe also in me. And look what he goes on to say. Notice the place and the person that this path has a purpose for. This spiritual road, we might say. Look what he says. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? Not just for his disciples, but for us too. There's a place being prepared in heaven for you. Those of you that know the old song, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. That's where they get that from. And you might have a mansion there, or it might be a room. It'll be some kind of a good place, okay? But somebody say amen to that. It's going to be good. Heaven's going to be great. He says, and so if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way, the path, the road, right? And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered him. Notice the words closely. These are the seminal words for Easter. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jesus said, comes to the Father except through me. Emphasis mine on the screen there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are Jesus' words. I'm reflecting them to you. Jesus says he's this path that's purposed to get us to God, to get us to heaven. This spiritual road, we might say, this avenue, this way, has to come through him. Has to come through him. That's what Jesus said. Around here we say we want to know Jesus at the Branch. Why? Because, in part, these words. He's the way. He's the spiritual road. He's my avenue to God. He's my avenue to heaven. That's why we want to have people get to know Jesus. We want to get to know him. Not only that, but we want to make him known, we say. And we say it to the growing numbers of folks that live out here in the East County area that are uninformed, underinformed, that's where I came from, or simply misinformed. A lot of people are just misinformed about Jesus. And it's as simple as, how can we inform people better about the truth of Jesus, the Christ? How can we do that as a church? And, you know, one of the ways we're doing it is we're sending off Kyle and Ruth with some people right here at the Branch that'll go and start something and replicate the impact that we're having out here over in the Salmon Creek area. If you happen to live over there and know someone that lives over there, boy, put them in touch with Kyle and Ruth because they're ramping up. They're within 5 months of having a start service, and what a cool thing that is. Well, as a Branch, we get to be part of that. We want to be part of that. We want to send people. We want to equip people. We want the bands to get big like this one, right? Lots of them up here. Because of these words Jesus said. He says he's the road. He's the road. And this road, Jesus engineered, he cut, and he paved it. And it was costly. This was a hard project to construct, to make this spiritual road that would reunite humanity with the God the Father of all. And so look at the passage Jesus shares here, some words he shares about how difficult this road would be to construct. It's in your notes, Matthew 20. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, it reads. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. That's what the record shows about what Jesus knew was going to happen to him as he was ascending up to the higher place of Jerusalem in that day on his march to death. And this cross here is kind of emblematic of the kind of cross that men were hung on to be killed. It was a torturous death. The worst criminals got this kind of death from the Roman Empire. So that as others viewed these people on the cross dying for their crimes committed against Rome's laws, they would know not to commit a crime. And it was a cruel and a torturous death. That was the death that Jesus died, a crucifixion for capital crimes that he never once committed, nor did he commit any other kind of crimes, nor did he ever sin against the holy God, his Father. No. He was crucified for the sins of humanity. He was crucified for, including yours and mine, our sins, he was crucified for. I would suggest to us this morning, this was the costliest, most expensive road that's ever been constructed on the planet. Grasp that for a moment. Not only was this important to recognize and understand, Jesus actually created a memorial. He set up a memorial that his followers, those who would know him by trusting in him and starting to follow him and following him till their dying breath, would actually remember that this happened for their sins. And so around here at the branch, we take what's called communion. And we do it on a weekly basis because, you know, it's kind of helpful every week to kind of remember why we're serving God, why we want to honor God. Because sometimes it's not so easy to do. So we want to do that. Jesus, the night before he died, listened to these words as he was around the table setting this memorial up. This is the first time he instituted it right at this table. Listen to his words as recorded over in Matthew 26. This is in your notes too. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Then he would say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Do this so that we don't forget the high cost of that spiritual road to be at the place of heaven one day and with the person of God, our Creator, ruler of all, final judge, and our Redeemer. Wow. And so I want to invite you to observe this communion, to remember through this memorial of communion this morning with me. Would you do that? At your tables, you have little mini trays that have both the bread and the grape juice. In other words, that symbolizes Jesus' blood. And if you could hold those and not take yet, we'll take together. It's kind of a cool thing to do on occasion. And so maybe all of that communion could be handed out now to all of these rows. And you're invited to take. If this is something you prefer not to, that's okay. You don't have to take communion. It's just a little piece of bread. There is gluten-free back here if that's a need that you have at the foot of the stairs, if you'd like to take and go get it. So we're going to hand out these trays and make sure that you all get that. Now, while they're doing that, I want to call your attention to a little tiny slip of paper that may have already slipped out of the worship folders you have. And if you might want to just kind of pull that out and just notice that. And this is what's called our note to God. A note to God. And I want to encourage everyone here. I know some of you won't, but if you'd like to, I just encourage you to write something to God on this note. Write something to God. It might have to do with the cross and the communion time right now, but it could have to do with expressing thanks to God or praise to God, gratitude or love back to God. It could have something to do with just one word you might put on there, help. If you're in a place where it's a struggling time for you, you say help. Or help me, maybe a couple words like renew me or bless me, some way in which you're praying by actually writing something down on here. It might be that some of us would want to say touch me, God, and name something in a way in which you you would want to be receiving God's touch into your life. Or maybe it's, God, save me. I'm trapped in addiction. And you're reaching out to God, not just in your mind, you're writing it out on a slip of paper. Okay? There's something to that when we write things or vocalize things. Maybe it's another kind of a need. You need courage. You need strength. Oh, God, give me grace. Give me power. Oh, God, I need your love more than ever right now. You can pour out your heart. Don't put your name on it. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask as many of you want, I'd encourage everyone to walk up this road to the cross and drop your note right here. You can fold it in half if you want, so whatever you want, just drop it right here. This cross expresses the love of God for every soul that's ever breathed on the planet. God died for you. He will help you with anything else in your life. Ask Him. Entreat Him. Anyway, this note is something that between now and the close of our service, I'd invite you to write something down on. Now, if you all have the bread, I want to just read what Jesus said again as it's recorded. So take the bread, if you will, in a hand, and listen to Jesus as if He's right here and He's asking for you to remember His sacrifice for your, that your sins would be forgiven, that you would have a new agreement with Him through this. So Jesus took bread, and when He'd given thanks, He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples. As many of you as are disciples, I encourage you. And He said, take and eat. This is my body. It represents His body, is what He's calling us to do as a memorial, even down here over 2,000 years later. Oh God, thank you for the bread which we have in our hands, which represents your body that hung from that cruel cross of crucifixion and was tortured, that was pierced open and blood freely flowed. We take it now in remembrance of you. I invite you to take the bread right now. After that supper, He took the cup. And you'd have a cup in your hand, I hope. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. That includes all people, that word many. He says it was poured out for many. In other words, it was intentionally given. His life was given for the forgiveness of sins, that our sins would be taken away. And so, God, thank you for the death, the shedding of the blood of the offering, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And we said, amen. Take the cup and drink. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, what does it say? Believes in Him. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Friends, it's not enough just to believe in God. That's not the road that's going to get us to heaven. It's not the way or the avenue that's going to get us to heaven. No, Jesus is the way. So we must believe in Jesus. And so that's what Jesus said. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Communion reminds us of the road that Jesus made for us, a very expensive road, the most costly on the planet that was made for us to get to God, to get to the place of heaven and the person of God. So friends, are you on it? Are you on that road? It means you've embraced Jesus Christ. Knowing Jesus is to know him by trusting in who he was and what he did for us in removing our penalty of sin against God. The Bible says the wages of sin, or the penalty of sin, is death. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there's no forgiveness. And so that's why we remember week by week taking juice that represents the blood, the lifeblood, the death of Jesus, and remembering him. So friends, I came to a place in my life where I needed to grasp the big questions and the eternity beyond death. I needed to get that right. I needed to understand that better. And I was in a search mode. I didn't want to live my whole life chasing things that I could chase. And there's all kinds of cool things in this life to chase, isn't there? Somebody say amen. There's really cool stuff. We got, especially if you live in America and can do all the cool things that we have to do. It's amazing. But I didn't want to get to the end of my days or face death, even as a younger man, and realize, oops, I was climbing the wrong hill. So I came to understand that this life is temporary. This life is finite. This life is a dot. And this is the way we say it sometimes around here. It's just a dot. We're living in the dot. Your life is short, really. The Bible says you're like a vapor. Here one day and gone the next. What happened to it? Your dot. You know what the line is? That's after this life. That's the life that lives on and on, and a line has no stopping point. A line just keeps going. Those of you that are math people, geometry, whatever, I don't know, but you just keeps going and going and going. That's the life we need to live in the dot in light of that next life. Christianity lives in the hope of a new life, a forever life. It's worth, if you're not there yet, it's worth understanding why there's a Jesus. You can believe in God. Don't think that that necessarily is going to save you. You must believe in Jesus. Jesus said, you trust in God, trust also in me. He's the road that was constructed to get us to God. The Bible says salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name given under heaven to mankind by which we must be saved. Now to me, that's pretty exclusive. Anybody agree? That's pretty exclusive. Aren't there many roads to heaven? I've heard that said more than once in my life. How about you? Aren't there many roads to heaven? Okay. I had to face that one. Some of you have too. Some of you may be in the midst of trying to figure that one out. That's okay. We all got to go through and try to understand. And so, how can I be sure I'm on the right road? How can I be sure? You know, I wanna be on the right road, don't you? I wanna live forever. I wanna know for sure. And that's where this resurrection comes to play, friends. Listen up closely. The resurrection is the most powerful event that's happened on the planet. The resurrection. The gospel includes the death, the burial, but it's not completed. The road, that spiritual road, that way to God, is not completed without a resurrection from the grave. If not, the grave wins. Oh, we might have had our sins forgiven, but there's no new life. What's the answer to death? The Bible says the answer to death is a resurrection from the dead. Just as God could give you life to begin with, God can resurrect you to brand new life, to live forever. That's the God we serve. He's powerful enough to do it, isn't he? And he's done it. And he's purchased it in through Jesus Christ being raised first as the first fruits from the dead. And so as Jesus was raised from the dead, and I won't go into that story, but I want to go into the story after. Because this is where I became convinced of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the miracle above all miracles. And it's that crowning miracle, it's the miracle that seeded Christianity for the past 2,000 years, the very resurrection of Christ from the dead, that Jesus was raised and walked around alive and was witnessed. Look at what the Bible says, Acts 1. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many, look what it says, convincing proofs, again, my emphasis, that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Jesus appeared over and over again, alive from the dead. They could check him out. They could watch him eat. They could embrace him. He was alive from the dead. He walked around. They knew he died, but here he was walking around alive, not just one sighting, but over and over again for 40 days. This impacted me, my friends. Look what the scripture goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, the church planter apostle said, I passed on to you as of first importance. Here's what's the most important thing you can understand about Christianity. Here it is, that Christ died for our sins. We remembered that. He memorialized that in communion. According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Now look what it goes on to say in the next slide. That he appeared. Notice the appearances here. These are so important. Because God didn't want to give anything to chance. These are convincing proofs to people then, and as they've been recorded for us today. That he appeared to Cephas, that would be Peter, and then to the 12. And after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living. They could go and get corroboration as to whether, did you really see Jesus? Though some have fallen asleep or died. And then he appeared to James, and then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally or untimely born. The idea was to convince people that Jesus was alive, that he was no longer dead, that God has victory over sin and victory over death, the grave. That's what Jesus gives us. That's the spiritual road, my friends, that we need to be reunited with a holy and just God, to live forever in a paradise. This is what God has designed, and he made sure. He gave us convincing proofs. To a guy like me, I'm not easily emotionally aroused. You got to convince me. You know, give me the evidence. I don't check my brains at the door. I hope none of you did either. Because God expects you to use the brain he gave you. It's powerful. He wants you to use it. And so this is what he's done. Look at then the convincing that was done. All of this, the Bible says, was not done in a corner. It was done for everybody to see. God made it evident. The evidence is mighty and powerful. So on the day, the 50th day after Jesus was raised from the dead, Peter had preached this first great message about the resurrection of Jesus. Thousands of people gathered, and this is what he said. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah, or Savior of all. And he goes on to say, when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, what do we do? We get right with God. We believe in God, but we didn't believe in this Jesus. And now we've just found that Jesus is the Savior by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, we want to be raised too one day. This was God's answer to them for their sin and for their death, the realities that they were facing as well as us today. Peter replied, and these were the instructions he gave based on their trust or knowledge of Jesus in this way. He said, repent. It means turn around. Start following Jesus and this new agreement with God through this new covenant in his blood and be baptized. That means a complete burial underwater, like Jesus was buried in the tomb and raised up again. And every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And this is where Jesus' blood meets our sin. Okay? It's applied to our life. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will get this new life, a resurrection spiritually that guarantees our resurrection ultimately from the dead bodily. A promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Look what it says on the screen. With many other words, okay? It kept talking to the people because people, sometimes we need to be warned and we need to be pleaded with about what's good for us. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Can I plead with you this morning? Can I plead with you to consider a note today to the Lord on that little my note to God slip? Can I plead with you to consider the back of the connection card and where you might be, that you would communicate with me as you turn in this card, perhaps with a check mark indicating a decision that you're making, a step you're taking at the top of the back of this connection card? Can I plead with you to take that step that God has you right here, right now, for a good reason? It's for your life, because He loves you. He died for you. He was raised again from the dead for you and for me. What would you put down here? Perhaps you want to learn more about the Bible. Maybe the step is to learn more about God and Christianity. Maybe the step is, I want to get into the pastor's house and see if he has some good pie or not. You know, maybe it's that. I don't know. Put something down there as you turn this card in today that would indicate a step you might be taking. And again, the little note to God. Perhaps it's not something you haven't written down anything on yet, but I would encourage you to do so. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask everyone that would like to, and I'm going to ask the parents first, so you can go back and get your children and head out to the egg hunt, but the parents first to come on up here to the cross. And if you have your note and you want to drop it, you can. If you want to put your hand on the cross, it's not going anywhere. Okay? It's going to stay here. And then I want to ask you, if you go out one side or the other here, to take a flower home. This stands for Jesus' resurrection today, the new life that He's given for those that would know Him by trusting in Him. And so I invite you to do that, to step forward and do that. And so I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to invite you to do that. Parents, of course, go back, pick up your kids, and then head out to the Easter egg hunt. And just a quick note, as you go out there, we're going to ask that you go out there and go out through the gates over here and not come back into this room, all right? So if you want to take some food on your way out, do that, parents, or a cup of coffee for yourself, and make sure you do that. Yes, let's pray together. Oh God, as we conclude this Easter 2019 service, we've again examined this incredible good news that we have, that you gave us through Jesus Christ, that He was indeed the one given out of the love of a Father that cares for every single person in this room that's given life to, and that He gave Him to die, that Jesus died in our place to take on our sin, to pay that penalty, and that He was buried, but He was raised from the dead to new life, and that that is our course as well, as we take Him as our way, as our road to the place of heaven and the person of God the Father. Oh, we thank you today, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed and said,
amen. Amen.
I want to invite you to stand as the band leads us in this final song. During this song, I'm asking parents first and then everyone else to follow. Just step on up here, drop your note if that's what you'd like to do, and then take a flower off each side. Thanks for coming, everybody. Sing out. Worship your Lord.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Oh. I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom.
Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom, you have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah.
Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah.
Chorus one.
But I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. Now no longer bound by sin and darkness. Living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom.
Yeah, give God a hand. Thanks. Hallelujah. freedom, Lord. Thank you for the freedom.
Amen. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. If you want to go on out and get some Easter eggs, or just say hi to somebody. Amen. God is so good. Amen. He is so good.